So today we are continuing in our Advent series, and our passage for today is John 16, verses 20 to 24. Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. And that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this time to be able to worship together with you, Lord, knowing that your Spirit is with us, dwelling, Lord, in every place that people are watching online. And Lord, we just ask that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I feel like Christmas is ruined. We can't gather for our celebrations. We can't see our friends. We can't do a lot of the normal things we do. Christmas shopping is just not the same when everything's online. We don't get to walk through the mall and hear Christmas music, see the beautiful decorations. I mean, there is an aspect of we're not feeling as hectic. And I don't mind that, actually. That's a good thing. But it really was like the last straw when my family was like, we don't think we're going to get together. And I was like, oh no. Yeah, Christmas is ruined. I know these are first world problems, and right outside these doors of the office, there are people who don't have money to buy presents, and or there's people in our congregation that don't get to see their family even normally. But it's just how I feel. This year has been a hard year. There's been so much loss. In many ways, it feels like bad news after bad news after bad news. We've lost our grounding. We've lost our sense of normalcy. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. A lot of people have fears about their jobs, fears about what will happen tomorrow. People have lost loved ones and not been able to say goodbye in a proper funeral. We are worried, we're anxious, we're confused, we're depressed. Today's theme for Advent is joy. How are we supposed to have joy in the middle of a pandemic? I chose the passage that I did because of how much Jesus talks about joy. He talks about grief turning to joy and how no one will take away your joy. He tells them, his disciples, to ask and receive so that your joy will be made complete. Jesus promises an everlasting joy. And he wouldn't have said it unless he meant it. Paul experienced what we would consider extreme hardships. And yet he tells the churches in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And then to the church in Thessalonica, he says, rejoice always. Again, he says that command. He wouldn't have commanded Christians to rejoice unless it was possible to rejoice always. Again, how do we rejoice in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of all the suffering and loss, and bad news after bad news? Let's go again to the passage to see and understand the joy that Jesus promised. He said at the beginning of this passage, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In the context of this passage, Jesus was about to go to the cross, and in many moments earlier, Jesus was foretelling, warning, preparing his disciples of what would happen. And here he says, now is your time of grief. You will grieve, you will mourn, lament, weep. Jesus' disciples received tender care, fellowship, friendship, direction from Jesus in those 3 years they spent with him. They gave up everything and put all their hope in him because they had come to believe that he is the Messiah.
I'm not sure I understand.
That is my Apple Watch. So the pain and heartache will be terrible, Jesus tells them, as they experience the death of the one they loved. Now is our time of grief. 2020 has been a hard year. I don't have to recount the losses that we faced. But this year has only highlighted for us what was true always. Our world is infected by sin, and we all suffer because of it. None of us are exempt from suffering. Grieving, weeping, and lamenting are part of what we'll go through in this life. Jesus says, as a woman goes through a time of sorrow when she's in labor, she will experience joy. How did she experience joy? From extreme sorrow to extreme joy? Well, I'll tell you, I just had a child this past year, and there's an event that happened that changed my sorrow and pain into joy. I received a baby in my arms. There is something that happens when that a real event like that happens. And Jesus is saying that a real event's going to happen that's going to change your very deep grief into joy. He says, what's going to happen? He has been telling them all along, is I will come back. I will disappear for a little while, and I will return, and I will be restored to you. They don't realize, and they couldn't even fathom it at that point, but they will experience their Messiah resurrecting from the dead and being returned and restored to them. And that event changed everything for them. Every year at Christmas and Easter, we celebrate the event that changed everything. We celebrate and worship a God who came to us to be in human flesh and to die and to resurrect and to conquer death and sin and evil. We sing about it through our carols. This morning, I love the songs that Stefan chose. If you listen to the lyrics, it's a repeating and a declaration of long lay the world in error pining. And then till he appeared and our souls felt the worth, we realized we were worth something to God. When Jesus appeared, the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field and they said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We celebrate the event that changed everything. Jesus, who came to be with us, who put his spirit in us, who gave us a joy that no one can take away. One author that I appreciate a lot, his name is Mike Mason, he puts it this way. He says, joy is a part of you. You are joy. You and I are the Lord's joy, and he is ours, and we are each other's. Since joy is not a possession, but something we are, we cannot lose it. Would the joy of the Lord fall out of my pocket and drop into some black hole? No, joy is a permanent facet of the character of God who lives in me by his Holy Spirit. It inhabits a place in me that nothing and no one else can touch or influence, so long as I'm careful to honor that place. I may surrender my joy, but no person nor any circumstance can take it from me. Note that he says that no one can take away your joy. We can surrender our joy. So though Christ is in us, we can surrender the joy that he is when we give into hopelessness, sadness, busyness, and worry. But it's not that we ignore our pain, because we say, what do we do with our pain? What do we do with our sadness, our depression, our loss? Paul said that he is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He said that in 2 Corinthians, in the context of facing all the hard times that he faced. And those hard times brought sorrow into his life. So he said, we as believers are always, we're sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He was able to rejoice even as he experienced the sorrows of this life. He found his joy in the Lord. We acknowledge the hard things. We acknowledge the sadness, the loss, and we bring it to the Lord. We lay it down at his feet, and we continue to worship him, and we experience the joy and the comfort that he brings. Jesus continues to talk about how we receive the joy in this passage, and how we receive a joy that is complete and made full. He says in verse 23 and 24, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." What does it mean that he says we will no longer ask him anything? He is talking about in that day when he's restored to his disciples, he assures them that they won't have the questions that they've been asking him. And he refers to that even later in John 16. He says, "I'm not going to speak to you in parables anymore. I can be direct with you because now I'm risen. You'll realize what you couldn't even understand before. This whole resurrected thing, that makes no sense to you right now," he realizes. But he says, "In that day, it'll all make sense. What God's plan was, what I've been trying to tell you all along. So you won't ask me those questions." Right? And then he says, he gives him a command, "Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name." This sounds like an invitation that you might think is too good to be true, because we've all experienced unanswered prayers. So what does Jesus mean in that we can ask for anything in the Father's name and he'll give us whatever we ask for? Remember, Jesus is talking about his disciples being restored and reunited with him. Because, and then they won't have any questions of him. And he says, but still, then he says, "Ask for whatever to the Father." He's telling, out of a relationship with me, ask with a heart of faith. Ask trusting in God's goodness, with a desire to do God's will, being reunited and in union with the Father. You know God's heart now. Ask. And ask for anything in his name, trusting that even when you don't, even if you're not sure if it's his will, still ask. He'll sanctify your desires. He'll make clear his will for you as you continue to ask, as you get to see what he's doing in your life. And he says, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name." He's making clear there's a change that will happen in the way that the disciples can ask of the Father. They now have access to the Father in Jesus, in his name. It's an invitation, an incredible invitation. We all have access to the Father who loves us through Jesus. In his name we ask. So the command that Jesus gives here is simple. He says, "Ask, you will receive, and your joy will be made complete." Think about a time just recently that you've experienced an answer to prayer. Last Friday, I took my daughter Helen for her 6-month visit to the doctor, and as would normally happen, she received her vaccinations. And then we realized at nighttime, at some point, that she had a high fever. So then, you know, we gave her medicine, and we prayed that God would help her fever to go away and that it would, nothing worse would happen, right? And nothing worse happened, and her fever went away. I know that for some of us, you're like, well, that would have been happened anyway, right? But I see those things as things that I ask of God, and I see those things as answers from God. And I was joyful. I was happy, because Helen was in a much better mood when she's not sick, right? We are happy when God answers our prayers. We're filled with joy. Jesus says, "Ask and receive, and your joy will be made complete." Is there anything too small to ask? No. Is there anything too big? No. Nothing is too small. Talk to God all throughout the day. Make your request for strength for the day, for wisdom known to God, wisdom for a meeting you have, wisdom to study for your finals, wisdom to prioritize what you have going on this week. Is there anything too big? Pray for healing. Pray for the salvation of loved ones that you've been praying for a long time. keep praying. Pray for the healing of our nation. Pray for an end to this virus. There's nothing too big to ask of God. And when God answers our prayers, thank him for the answered prayers. And what we'll find is that our cup of joy is full and getting more full as we recognize God answering prayers. And even when we don't receive or answer to prayers, we continue to pray. We ask God, sanctify my desires. Help me to be patient. Help me to see the things the way that you see it. Do you realize that when Jesus commands us to ask the Father for anything, this constant communication of asking and receiving the Father is what is building a relationship with God? Because ultimately, the relationship we have with the Father and with the Son is ultimately what gives us joy, is a relationship with God himself. When we can hear his voice, when we can begin to develop an understanding of his thoughts and his heart, when we experience his friendship with us, a God that's close, that's near, his fellowship, that is what brings us joy and fills our cup. So is it possible to experience joy in a pandemic? I'll say yes. And if we can experience joy in a pandemic, and if we can practice it, we can experience joy at any time. So let's go over what it looks like to practice joy in the pandemic and in this Advent season. First, acknowledge your pain and let Jesus restore your joy. Remember, Jesus told his disciples now was their time of mourning, but their grief would turn to joy. When they met Jesus resurrected, everything changed, but they had to go through the time of mourning. And that was appropriate for them to mourn the loss of their Savior. The mourning that we are experiencing as we think about the loss that we've gone through, the loss that friends and family members have gone through this year, we can do nothing else sometimes than other than mourn, to grieve, to cry out to God. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to acknowledge what we are experiencing before our Father, to bring our pain to him and sit with him, to sit at Jesus' feet, share with him our need, and allow him to meet us, allow his spirit that is in us to speak to us, to begin to renew our hearts, to comfort us and restore us. Secondly, pray for all things. Jesus said, to ask and you will receive again and our joy will be made complete. So pray for all things as we talked, big and small, coming before your Father in the name of Jesus. I want us to even think, and maybe even more so this set time ever than ever, as people think about Christmas, and normally it's a time that's really distracting with all of the commercialism of Christmas, but yet the whole world celebrates Christmas, whether they know Jesus or not, right? But as the distractions are really minimized this year, let's pray for our friends and family that don't know Christ, that their hearts be drawn to him ever more as they think about what this time is about, right? Let's let the light of Christ, let's pray that it will shine even more brightly as we feel the darkness so much more keenly, right? So let's pray for those in our lives that don't know Jesus. They'll come to know him and the joy that he brings. There's no greater joy that we can experience than him. And lastly, let's celebrate and make merry this Christmas. Yes, we are gonna be celebrating Christmas differently this year than we ever have, right? But let's celebrate. Let's put up the decorations. Let's buy the gifts, write a card, wish people a Merry Christmas, sing the songs. In our household, we have our own version of Mary, Did You Know? We have created the Ash family version. We sing, Baby, did you know that you're our baby girl and I will love you always? And we just sing, as we're singing these songs, I actually really like the song, Mary, Did You Know? And if you think about the lyrics of that song, it's incredible, the kind of wonder that it can spark in you. It says, Mary, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? You know, think about the incarnation, what Mary would have experienced as she raised Jesus as her own son. By simple songs, like Away in a Manger, it's not just a childhood lullaby. It's declaring these amazing truths about God becoming flesh. And as you sing these songs, as you reflect on those words, let the joy and the wonder of what this time is about, Jesus coming to earth, fill your heart again. Christmas is not ruined. Christmas this year could be the best Christmas ever. God has our attention like no other time before. So let's give him our hearts. Let's give him all that we have. Let's lay bare everything, our worries, our fears before him, and allow him to fill you with joy.